Lexington.com.
The Beltway with Talk Radio News. My pal Jeff Holtzman joins us this time around. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm great. Good to be with you.
Sorry about those Redskins. Not looking good for the season. For anybody's season.
It's always good to have a third-string quarterback thinking he's the starter and then have your starter thinking that he should maybe switch sports.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they can talk about it all they want. Right now, there's no football anyway, so no worries. We'll have to gig you a little bit about that because, of course, people that listen to the show know I'm an Eagles fan, and we have a lot of Cowboy lovers that are listening to the show tonight for sure. Let's talk about
well,
I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should probably not talk sports, and I don't know if those Cowboys fans will like what I have to say. We'll do some politics instead.
Yeah, let's stick to something else that's safe, right? Let's talk about the president ahead of the Mideast speech that he's going to unveil, of course, on Thursday. What do you know about the speech? What's he going to talk about?
Well, the White House is doing it as a major policy speech regarding our policy towards the Middle East as well as North Africa. So a couple flash points. The president is expected to address the ongoing process of trying to broker peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. This has sort of been a black eye for the administration because, as you know, the president pledged that he would get something meaningful done, within the first 2 years of his administration, but has been unable to produce on that. And his top envoy to those peace talks, George Mitchell, just announced last week that he'll be resigning. So that effectively sort of ends any hope that I think the president has of brokering something. Now, he'll address that because it's important for him to keep the rhetoric going and to at least keep the appearance that he wants to pursue an agreement and that he thinks he can get one done. And, of course, Israeli Prime Minister Ben Netanyahu will be at the White House on Friday. So the president will have met with not only King Abdullah from Jordan, but the head of state in Israel in the same week. The president will also talk about the Iranian nuclear program, which continues to be something of a thorn in the side of Washington, despite the fact that, you know, administration after administration has slapped sanctions on the Iranian regime. They're still after it, and there's a lot of fear in Washington that they're sharing nuclear secrets with the North Koreans and with others, with the Pakistanis, and that they're, you know, on the verge of having a nuke. And that, of course, is not a good thing if you're somebody who enjoys world peace and that sort of thing. So he'll touch on that. And then finally, he's going to touch upon a new financial assistance package to both Egypt and Tunisia. And of course, Egypt and Tunisia both underwent popular uprisings this spring, which basically led to the ouster of their, you know, longtime dictators. And both countries are struggling to insert a democratic government and insert meaningful democratic reforms for their people. And I think that the White House feeling on that is that if neither country is able to prosper economically, then both are going to be susceptible to falling back into chaos politically and socially. And so the White House will unveil a proposal to forgive some of Egypt's debt and to let them use that money toward creating jobs, as well as giving them money and having our European allies partner together to give them a financial package over the next few years as well. And the same goes for Tunisia. So that's something new that we haven't heard a lot about, and the president will go into that more tomorrow. Should be a very, very interesting speech.
Yeah, no kidding. Meanwhile, the dust really still hasn't settled on what Pakistan knew or didn't know about bin Laden's whereabouts. And the Secretary of the Defense, Robert Gates, was talking about that today. What did he have to say?
Well, Secretary Gates has been sort of at odds with the whole, the whole thing about details coming out of this bin Laden mission. And, you know, you saw this 60 Minutes interview over the weekend where Gates essentially said they didn't want any information, any details leaked about the mission. And, of course, that fell through after about 24 hours. And now Gates said in a press conference today that he's pretty certain that somebody at some level of government in Pakistan knew that Osama bin Laden was living in a compound outside of a military town 30 minutes north of Islamabad. And I'm going to take my reporter hat off here for a second and speculate. And I think that it's a pretty safe bet to say that somebody did know about it. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where how could you not? Now, Gates, you know, he didn't think that anybody in a real meaningful position of leadership in the government knew, but he thought that maybe somebody somewhere in the mid-level area capacity knew. And so this is something that's going to be explored for weeks and months, our relationship with Pakistan and whether we can continue to count on them as an ally in the war on terror. Obviously, at the center of this debate is going to be our financial assistance to Pakistan. Currently, we give them somewhere along the lines of $2 billion a year in foreign aid, and that's a lot of money that adds up over time. You know, of course, complicating this is this recent news that Pakistani soldiers fired on a NATO jet as it crossed over into Pakistan from Afghanistan. There have been conflicting reports about this story. NATO says that they did not, you know, exchange fire. They didn't. Two soldiers on the ground were injured, and NATO says that they did not. That they were not responsible for that. So this is an ongoing development too that we're waiting to clarify. But I think that you know, as time goes on, I think Pakistan is going to be the key nation that we're going to have to resolve. You know, our relationship with whether or not we can trust them, how much money we give to them, and whether or not we have troops there that going forward.
Well said. We talk about that all the time on America Tonight. Pakistan, Pakistan, Pakistan. Where do we stand with a big question mark there? No doubt about it. Moving from that conversation to 2012, the guy who wants to be the commander in chief on the Republican side of things, Newt Gingrich, he's had a rough start, Jeff, out of the gate. What do you think?
Well, I would agree with that assessment, and I think most in Washington would also agree. You know, it all started for Newt last week when he took to the air on Meet the Press and called the House GOP budget plan a, you know, a right-wing social engineering experiment. And that really irked a lot of Republicans in Congress. Newt ended up calling House Majority Leader Eric Cantor on Tuesday and essentially apologizing for those remarks. And then since then, he's said that he misspoke. He didn't mean what he said. And has tried to sort of put that past him, but a lot of people are scratching their heads and saying this is not really, I think, what the Gingrich campaign was going for in the first week of its operation. Another story, obviously, that's come up is the fact that Gingrich may have had a credit line at Tiffany's worth up to $500,000, and of course, if this is true, then that could be a huge black eye for Gingrich, because he's a guy who's prided himself on fiscal responsibility, and he preached that message during his time in Washington and outside the Beltway. And of course, that's, you know, a huge that just flies in the face of the message. And then lastly, you know, Gingrich has been criticized for his views on healthcare reform. Obviously, this is something that the campaign, I think, knew they were going to have to deal with. The fact that when Gingrich was in Congress, he supported an individual mandate, you know, requiring Americans to purchase health insurance. And obviously, Republicans have taken aim at President Obama's health care law. They've basically said that they're going to run on it, and they're going to try to win seats in 2012 opposing it. And, you know, so if Gingrich can't really make that distinction between, you know, what he'd do in terms of health reform and what the Democrats would do, then that could really hurt him from a policy standpoint. So I think that it hasn't been a good first week for the Gingrich campaign. They've got a lot to overcome. The only good news is that it's still really early in the process, and he could put this all past him with a solid next few weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you. No kidding. And the Tiffany story, I didn't know that. That's interesting stuff. That's not going to bode well for him. Certainly not. Jeff Holtzman, it's been a delight from Talk Radio News. Thanks. We appreciate it. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the
prize. Coming up at the tail end of the hour, how much technology do you have in your life? I started to look around today, and then I just got something new in the house, and I'm wondering how much technology you have. How hooked in are you? Are you chatting all day long? I'm even going to include, like, social media. So same thing, chatting, Facebook, all that stuff. How many computers do you have? Do you have an iPhone or an Android? Do you have an iPad? We're going to talk about that. Do you have a Nook or a Kindle? Do you have a Bluetooth? I didn't think I had that much technology, and then I started to look around and think again, lady. So we're going to talk about that coming up at the tail end of the hour, like I said, as we head into the final turn for the stretch to the end. But we have a long way to go before we get there. Coming up, a conversation with Andrew Fowler. A lot of you requested to hear that again, because he had interviewed Julian Assange from WikiLeaks many, many times and really gave us kind of the inside scoop on the document drop and what happened just after bin Laden was killed, because now that's coming up on 3 weeks. Can you believe it? It just seems sort of longer than that. Speaking of bin Laden and the aftermath and the photograph not being shown except for to some people on the Hill who wanted to see it, wanted proof. Senator Kay Hagan, a Democrat from North Carolina, talked to some reporters in Washington during the day, and she talked about making the trip to the CIA to look at the photos, and she flat out said, there is no question this man is dead for any conspiracy entrepreneurs or enterprisers or whatever. or however you view the Bin Laden thing, she said absolutely unequivocally she feels as though he is dead and the photos prove it. Take a listen.
As chair of the Senate Armed Services Emerging Threats Subcommittee, I had an opportunity to view the photos of Osama bin Laden yesterday. I believe it's my responsibility as chair of this Emerging Threats Subcommittee. That committee actually oversees the Special Operation Forces. And my responsibility as a senator from the most military-friendly state in the nation, with 20,000 of our service members from North Carolina currently serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, to view these photos. And let me tell you, there is absolutely no doubt that these photos were Osama bin Laden. He is dead. And I'm very proud of our military and our intelligence communities that acted with tremendous skill, tremendous bravery to carry out this mission. And I am satisfied that the last thing Osama bin Laden saw was our American Special Operations Forces kicking in his door. I actually traveled over to the CIA headquarters, and I was met at the front door, taken to a secure room where there was one other CIA individual that was in the room with me and handed a notebook. And I'm not going to go into detail about the photos.
That's fine.
But there were a number of different photos, and it was obvious that it was Osama bin Laden.
All right, so you heard the senator saying it was obvious it was Osama bin Laden. Jack Alexander writes to us, our man down under on Pal Talk. You can see me waving if you go to americatonight.net because we have a webcam on our little mini studio. The big mothership, of course, is in Minneapolis. And Jack says, so there is two sets of rules. She could see the photo, but we can't. That's right, Jack. Bingo. If you have a pass, meaning you're a senator or a congressperson and you want to trot out to the CIA, they'll show you the photos, but not to the average Joe, not to the rest of the world, not to the rest of the world. Remember, that was one of the things Obama said, that we don't spike the football. That's what he called it. We don't spike the football, so nobody gets to see the photos except for a couple hundred people on the Hill. Yeah. See, what that senator needed to do was have an aide, whoops, accidentally take the technology I was talking about that all of us have so much of and just take a shot of it. Pull that cell phone out. Take a shot of it. Speaking of bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, big story today, released an audio recording by bin Laden in which he praises revolutions sweeping the Arab world and called for more tyrants to be toppled. Naturally, even in death, he reaches out and just grabs us, right? So Islamists, of course, have been, as some would say, missing in action when it comes to all the uprisings that are led by ordinary people that are upset with what's going on in their countries, whether it's Egypt, Tunisia, Syria, whether it's Libya, wherever. And it is about what the crowds are yelling and screaming, corruption and economic problems and, you know, basically dictatorships or autocratic rule, some would say. So bin Laden, dead as of May 2nd, right, must have recorded this. They authenticated it, so it's his voice. And he's referring to the uprisings that started in Tunisia and have spread across North Africa and the Middle East. And you heard the conversation at the top with Jeff Holtzman, an insider in Washington, one of our insiders from Talk Radio News, giving us the buzz on what's going to happen in this speech about the Middle East that the president's going to deliver, rather, on Thursday. So now Al-Qaeda conveniently releases this bin Laden tape, and the audio was included in an internet video that lasted maybe about 12 minutes or so, and it was posted all over the Islamist websites, whatever ones that you can possibly think about. And he started talking about North Africa and revolutions and Tunisia and the faces of change and, you know, all this sort of stuff, which, of course, we hadn't heard before. Like I said, Islamist extremists certainly were missing in the middle of this, we would think, right? And unless you include the Muslim Brotherhood, which some say there are many members there that could absolutely be considered to be Islamic extremist. So bin Laden backed efforts to throw out leaders in the Muslim world in this rant that he did, for him a rant, audio, calling on people to set up an operations room that follows up events and they work parallel to save the people that are struggling to bring down the tyrants. And he says the youth, I'm going to give you some a couple of quick quotes. He says the youth must prepare what is necessary and must not make any decisions without consulting those of experience and honesty, really, who avoid half solutions. What's interesting is he mentioned Tunisia, but he didn't specifically ever say Syria, Libya, Yemen, where that's happening right now. And he denounced Western ways, and he didn't mention the United States, but his specific quote was, this is a quote from the bin Laden audio that was just released all over Islamic websites. He says, the Jews have become scared by the Arab revolutions. Tunisia was first, but swiftly the Knights of Egypt have taken a spark from the free people of Tunisia. It has made the rulers worried. Al Jazeera Television used a Pakistani security source, at least that's they cited them anyway, and said that Al-Qaeda had appointed a temporary leader following bin Laden's death. We know that that they've announced that's nothing new, other than now this tape that's floating around is new. That's it. So it's interesting that the senator goes, takes a look at the photograph. You have this big speech that's coming up for the president to talk about the Middle East and talk about Syria and some other things and democracy, etc. That's supposed to be, I guess, the thrust of what he's going to say. But the timing couldn't probably be better, I guess, when you're talking about 2.5 weeks since the bin Laden stuff. Coming up next, like I mentioned, Julian Assange, a curiosity to many people, the founder of WikiLeaks. You know right now that he's under house arrest for what happened in Sweden, the accusations that he attacked a couple of women. WikiLeaks had a big document drop that spelled out a couple of things, certainly from the State Department. They didn't like it, no doubt about that. And we're going to have that conversation with Andrew Fowler coming up right around the bend.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
As we continue here on America Tonight, of course, the focus is Osama bin Laden, his death. Lots of reaction around the world and across America to this, and many of you calling us as well. Joining us on the show now, Andrew Fowler. He's an award-winning investigative journalist. He's a contributing reporter for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. He also has interviewed Julian Assange many, many times, and he is the author of a new book. The book is called The Most Dangerous Man in the World, The Explosive True Story of Julian Assange and the Lies, Cover-Ups, and Conspiracies He Exposed. Andrew, thanks for popping on ATN.
No problem, Kate. My pleasure.
Before we dive into the WikiLeaks connection, just your reaction. I'm asking everybody this because I think it's big. It's like when you found out that bin Laden was dead, what was your reaction?
When I found out he was dead, I wondered if he should have been captured and interrogated. I didn't celebrate his death. I don't celebrate death. But I know people would have been very happy, and I saw the people outside the White House, and I understood what they were doing, although I didn't necessarily agree with celebrating death.
Yeah, there you go. That's very honest. WikiLeaks and the connection to WikiLeaks. What is the connection?
Well, the connection with WikiLeaks is that a couple of days ago, WikiLeaks put out a report, a Defense Department, United States Defense Department cable, which said that one of the high-ranking officials who had been interrogated at Guantanamo Bay had said that if bin Laden was killed, there would be a nuclear storm in the United States. And there's also a suggestion in another cable that there was an atomic weapon that was held in Europe, either to be exploded there or somewhere else, and if bin Laden was killed. Now, the proximity between that leak and the raid could be coincidental, or it could be that the United States was forced to move early because of the sort of fear that Bin Laden would actually, you know, make a run for it, suggesting the heat was being turned up. I have no direct evidence on that at all. I know the speculation, but I have no evidence.
Right. Well, the information in the cable, because that's what everybody's talking about, and that's what you were telling us about, where did that information come from?
Well, the information came from a couple of sources, but mainly from a guy called Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was one of the masterminds of the 9/11 attack on New York and Pentagon. And it was under interrogation that he made these claims that the United States would suffer if Bin Laden was killed. Now, the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is interesting because he was a really big fish for the United States to capture and to interrogate. And what he said was gave evidence to the United States that they were under threat. Now, the veracity of that information, when it comes from somebody who's being interrogated using very extreme forms of interrogation, like waterboarding, which is something that George Bush supported and actually condoned in the case of this guy, may mean that the evidence is actually contaminated because, you know, the guy may have said anything to stop himself from suffering virtual drowning. So that's a whole it's a whole case of just whether that information actually is true. I mean, we kind of hope it's not, of course, but it may well be that they are planning some kind of reprisal.
Yeah. And of course, just like all of the pieces of what's now coming out about Osama bin Laden, how they got him, the burial at sea, all that sort of stuff. Andrew, you know that everybody wants to know, is the cable authentic? And how do you know? How can you be certain it is authentic?
Well, look, the United States Defense Department, to my knowledge, has not denied that this cable is correct and is a true record, and I think they would have done that. I think the U.S. would also have said right now that if WikiLeaks had compromised the operation, they probably would have said that by now as well. But going to the authenticity of the cable, as I say, it looks authentic. You can look at it. You can actually cross-reference it. It looks pretty straight. Also, WikiLeaks has a reputation for putting out cables that are only too accurate. That's sometimes the problem. You know, they actually are the real thing, and no one denies that.
Yeah. Do you, in all your dealings with Julian Assange, and this is fascinating to me, because he's either a hero or a villain or somewhere in between for some people. We've talked about him a lot on America Tonight. Andrew, a lot of people have reacted to WikiLeaks. And like I said, they either hail him as a hero and then or others vilify him. Tell us your impressions of Assange after all the times that you've talked to him.
Well, Julian Assange is whatever you want him to be. I mean, he's a hero to some people, he's a villain to others. I personally don't believe in heroes. I think all of us are capable of carrying out heroic acts. Julian Assange is not anti-American. He is anti-authoritarian. He actually stands against authoritarianism. He believes in much of the sort of, if you like, if I can put a political label on this, the right-wing libertarian movement in the United States. He has great sympathy for them. In fact, he's staying in his country mansion in the UK where he's under virtual house arrest. He's actually staying with a guy who's a right-wing libertarian. Assange stands for freedom of speech. He says, and he said many times, he said to me, I want to bring the First Amendment of the United States to the world. I want to bring free speech to the rest of the world, and that would be his aim in life. Now, this may come as a bit of a surprise to many people living in the United States of America, but that is Julian Assange's credo. That's what he says, and that's what he's really been trying to do. Now, you can't really have it all ways. You can't want to believe in freedom of speech, but say, as one of your senators has been saying, Ron Paul, he's saying, look, you know, we've got to have freedom of speech. That's freedom of speech, freedom of information. We want to hold the government to account. That's exactly what Julian Assange wants to do. On the other side, he's actually big on social justice. And those two things sometimes don't fit together. If you believe the government's doing the right thing or the wrong thing, you actually can also believe that social justice is maybe not the answer because it's kind of soft on people that are being that maybe need to be treated harshly. So he sort of straddles that really weird political mix between on one side the right wing, on the other side he's kind of on the left.
Yeah. You mentioned this in talking about where he's staying and being under house arrest. What do you make of the charges that were leveled at him connected to the Sweden and the women in Sweden?
Well, look, I mean, I think the Swedish law is very different from the United States law. It's certainly very different from Australian law. And I think that those are the sort of complications that make it difficult to make a value judgment without having gone through the evidence. But certainly Julian Assange went to Sweden to look for a safer place to put his WikiLeaks organization, because it has these really strong laws that protect freedom of speech, much the same as the United States, freedom of speech and protecting sources. The problem is the law also codifies the act of sex in a kind of strange contractual way, where anybody any time can change their minds and change the contract. So it's a complicated legal situation. I think that Julian was and has been in the past a kind of an innocent abroad in many ways. And I'm not apologizing for him, but I'm just saying that he's not this sort of calculating character. He tends to do things, you know, almost like in a childlike way, which is quite bizarre for somebody of such a huge, huge intellect that he has.
Yeah. And having spent that time with him, and like you said, uncovering the fact that, okay, this is really what he's about. He's really about freedom of speech and First Amendment and bringing that to the world. Do you think Assange worries that his flame will be extinguished? Because, of course, we know he thinks he's a target. Is he a target?
Look, I don't think Julian Assange is a target for any sort of black operation by the CIA or any other intelligence organization. I think his greatest threat would probably come from some crackpot who, you know, someone who wanted like to... Anyway, I don't want to go into that because I don't want to raise those specters. But
sure.
But still, that's the sort of problem he faces. Not anything... The only thing he faces from the United States is possibly being extradited to the United States. And maybe on any offense that can be found against him. I don't think they're going to get the goods on him to say that he manipulated Bradley Manning, who's the guy who's actually charged with leaking the documents to him. I don't think they're going to get that information. I don't think it's there in a sense. It's impossible to prove. And I think that's what the United States has kind of come to that conclusion. But they may try to get him to the U.S. on another charge, a lesser charge, and that's what he fears.
Yeah, there you go. We started off talking about the cable. Do you think there's another cable or two that will come from WikiLeaks about bin Laden?
It's possible. I mean, there are 650,000 U.S. cables, U.S. State Department cables that WikiLeaks has, and only 4,000 of them approximately have actually been processed and been written about. So there's a good old 646,000, if my math is correct, to actually wage your way through. And I don't think they've actually managed to make their way through that lot yet. But I have no special information about that. But I'd be surprised if there wasn't more information about Al-Qaeda and operations things and that kind of stuff and bin Laden's plans.
Yeah.
But just by the way, what is really interesting is that when they got into the compound, the SEALs, they snatched a lot of the stuff, hard drives, thumb drives, that kind of material that would be, it's actually absolutely a treasure trove of information about Al-Qaeda's operations, I would suspect. The only problem is, is that they killed bin Laden. Well, that's maybe what had to happen because maybe there was a firefight. I don't know what happened there exactly. And we won't know the details of that for a while to come. But the information on those computer hard drives will be, as I say, like a treasure trove.
I know. Do you think that'll ever see the light of day, though? There's the $10 million question.
Well, it depends if somebody's got a sort of a way to leak it to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, and really WikiLeaks is the funnel where it all comes out, isn't it? And I don't know that that's going to change.
Well, that's right. Well, that's right. And even if WikiLeaks fades and goes away, and you know, maybe that might happen, there'll be other forms of ways of leaking. You know, but look, I tell you, actually leaking via WikiLeaks and leaking, thinking you're safe in your little dark room, you press the button, the information goes out, and it goes to WikiLeaks. It's not the answer because you still, as a human being, want to talk to the person who's going to publish that material, and that human connection can only be made by a human connection. And that's, if you like, what happened to Bradley Manning. He was somebody, if he was the leaker, he reached out for somebody to talk to about what he'd done. The trouble is he reached out to Adrian Lamo, who was somebody who was a snitch and dobbed him into the military.
Yeah.
And that was the problem for him. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Bradley Manning was a leaker, or that Adrian Lamo actually did the wrong thing by many people. Many people believed it a great, a very heroic thing.
Yeah, I agree. Andrew Fowler, thank you very much. The book, Most Dangerous Man in the World, The Explosive True Story of Julian Assange and the Lies, Cover-Ups, and Conspiracies He Exposed. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come on, John. One more time. Crazy. Metal Jack. Papa's got a brand new bag.
All right, here's one Papa who needs to get a brand new bag. Don't you love it? This is what I love about America tonight. Water cooler buzz across the nation and beyond. As we are live, the IMF chief resigning after this whole blow-up over his alleged sexual assault in New York, with Europe furious and the French insane over this. The Rikers imprisoned IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn now resigns because he's facing a rape charge in the U.S. And it really has been a free-for-all. A lot of shouting going back and forth in Europe and some developing countries over who's going to get his gig. So it was inevitable he's going to push it aside after what happened. Because, you know, here's a guy, traditionally, Europeans head the International Monetary Fund. Americans run the World Bank. Developing nations don't like it. They're challenging that tradition because, you know, some of these developing nations are what they call emerging developing nations. You can see what's happening in the technology sector and some others in some of these places. So, like India would be considered to be on that list. So because they're talking about their increasing money, all the wealth that they're starting to get, and their role in the global economy, they say it's our turn. So look what's happened with Khan. Why can't we take the reins and run with it? But the Europeans desperately don't want this to happen. And they're saying the International Monetary Fund's key role is fighting the debt crisis, and that's one of the reasons to keep the job on their continent, because of what would happen should all of that tank. And the IMF helps stabilize the globe by issuing those loans, those emergency loans to countries who fall desperately into financial trouble. And think of the bailouts. Greece, Ireland, Portugal was also on the list. And how they had it, especially Greece. I mean, Greece was insane. And then were you not shocked when you heard about Ireland? And then throw Portugal in the mix, too. So he has officially resigned. This just happened. He's out of the way. What's interesting is Strauss-Kahn was considered to be a megawatt powerful French politician who wanted to be the president of France. I mean, this guy had a chance at being the president of France. He's in Rikers. Why is he in Rikers? Because he's been arrested for allegedly sexually assaulting a hotel maid. His defense lawyers are going to try to come up with a way to release him. He's got a new bail hearing Thursday. His wife arrived, I heard, with an amazing amount of cash, too. You know, here, take the cash. Let's get out of this country. Let's move. Because they're looking at DNA. They're frantically trying to find DNA evidence, all this other kind of stuff. And so this has been a very, very big deal, what's happened here. Because, for example, as it was explained to me, if you look at the Strauss-Kahn situation, he can't run the IMF, obviously not when he's sitting in prison. They're looking to fill his shoes completely now since he was pressured to resign. And the U.S. does have a major stake in saying who's going to head the IMF, thus the discussion about developing nations, saying we want this seat, we want to do this, we want to run this. And if you look at the U.S. has the largest number of votes in the agency. So that's why the U.S. has that power. There, by the way, if you think, well, IMF, what is that? 187 nations. So the White House isn't really saying much about what happened with him. But in Europe, they're going nuts over it. I mean, this is just boom, bang, front page news. Of course it's front page news because of what you think of the bailouts and you think of how shaky this is with the euro. So they were going to bail on him if he didn't resign. He resigned and he's in a whole bunch of trouble trying to get his way out of what happened in that Sofitel Hotel in Manhattan, because the woman saying that she was raped and they're looking for all the evidence. You know, he's sitting in Rikers with no bail for a reason, because, of course, would he be a flight risk? He has Uber amounts of money. Thus, his wife, you know, flying in with a suitcase full of the stuff. Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger, since we're on the Bad Boys kind of thing here, I'll stick with the theme for a second. Mystery solved. Not a surprise. Remember, it was very vague when the details emerged the other day that he had fathered a child. It was 10. It was with the household help. And I said, well, you know, who is it? Is it the cook? Is it the chauffeur? Is it the maid? Is it the person who makes the appointments? Who is it that they're talking about? And trust me, in Los Angeles, it's all about the celeb buzz, especially when they go, when they're built up and then they take a massive fall. Everyone from the TMZs to the National Enquirers to all the local stations, they're all over this story. I mean, they are smothering this family, of course, to try to get any information they can. So the mistress was the housekeeper. That's apparently, that's who it was. Her identity was revealed. And guess who broke the story? TMZ, of course, broke the story. What's really sad, though, the woman's name is Mildred Patricia Baena, and she worked for them for 20 years. Wow. So what was going on? He was messing around with a housekeeper every time she was away, when she ran out to a charity thing, when those kids were little. I mean, how strange. In a way, I could care less, except for you can't help but laugh at this situation. Really, honestly. So she left in January, and apparently she was fired from her spot, and she was furious with Schwarzenegger. So I guess, you know, she started to pursue him in the late 90s, and she bragged to friends about fooling around with him while the family was out. She never stayed the night, blah, 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 blah. So there you go. No shock. No shock at all. The woman, by the way, now is 50, so Maria Shriver, I think, is just a few years older than her. I said we're going to talk about technology, and I made my quick little list. I started to think about it today. You probably have your own lists in your head, most likely. I didn't think, you know, sometimes you just have to get away from being hooked in. I didn't think I was particularly over the top with the technology side, but I think I'm probably right there. How many of you have three computers? How many of you have an Android, an iPhone, and a Nook as well? Of course, we all have, I mean, don't we all have the music devices, right? Come on. We all have that. I mean, the iPod is old school, but I guess you can count the iPod, right? Have you seen anyone in a Walkman lately? Would that be hilarious? I saw somebody a few months ago when I was going to Los Angeles, and I was stunned. I saw somebody with a Walkman. It was the first time I think I've seen anyone wearing that archaic device since they were very popular. I even said something to him because he noticed I looked at him. I was kind of stunned when I saw him, and I said, cool, old school. I guess I'm not old school when it comes to all the hookups with the technology. And it's just going to get bigger and badder for all of us. In one way, it's very, very cool. In another way, I think we're like techno. We're so technoed out that we have techno anxiety. And do you ever get that, did you ever get that feeling when when you're just so plugged in, you just want to be unplugged? And or you get the newest, latest, greatest thing. Oh, I had something else to add to the list. Dragonfly. Ever heard of Dragonfly? That's the thing where you talk out loud and it just puts it down on paper. You can dictate to it like you're doing a book, you're doing a paper, you're doing whatever, notes. You just talk into the device, the microphone, and it just spits it all out. So that's another one. But I think what happens too is you have to have a lot of patience in setting some of this stuff up. I hate that part of it. How many of you read the instruction manuals? I see a lot of people are pinging me. Trust me, we're going to continue this conversation in another hour, I'm sure, down the line here on America Tonight. You can send me your thoughts or your lists, computers and technology and whatnot, to americatonight.net. Thanks.